Hey guys, welcome to the Because I Love You podcast, where I tell you everything a best friend should because I love you. You guys, I really do love you. This is the second time I'm recording this episode because I didn't hit record the first time on the sound. Try being an influencer like me. I'm just kidding. You know, today's kind of not been my day, but I was really excited to come here and talk to you guys because you make my day better stink. I love you. Okay, we're gonna shake off the heebie-jeebies and we're gonna get to it. So a lot of you have been asking me to go a little deeper on the diagnosis I received at the end of last year, right before my 30th birthday. Happy birthday to me. Yes, I was diagnosed with ADHD. I have gone 30 years without the diagnosis. And I'm gonna kind of get into the damaging sides of that and what it has caused for me and what I've been able to do since the diagnosis that has improved my quality of life significantly, and kind of give you the story to how I ended up with the diagnosis after 30 years. I guess I'm considered neurodivergent. Are any of you neurodivergent? Are you neurodivergent? Let me know in the comments who else is in the fam, but I guess that makes me a part of the club. I feel like being neurodivergent really just means you have a superpower that you don't know how to use until you do. Seriously, I think having ADHD kind of rules because I hyperfixate on things, and that's probably my favorite thing about it. Yeah, sort of. I do hyperfixate on things, and sometimes that works out great. Like for my job, it works out great. I love fixating on you. Now, I have fixated on some things that aren't so great, and maybe I'll tell you that in this episode, but let's just get into a little story time. Get cozy, get comfy. Delicioso. We are tweaking today. Certified tweakers. Yeah. So I'm going to be honest. ADHD never seemed like a possibility for me, okay? I didn't have the real definition of ADHD though. The definition of ADHD that I had was basically the certified tweaker version where you're like, I can't focus on anything. I'm like a squirrel. That is so not realistic, okay? That's not how ADHD people are. Maybe children might present that way, but no, that's never been me. But I thought that that was the definition. Now I know that's not. That was a misconception. That's what Hollywood puts in front of you, right? The best way that I can describe how my life has felt without the diagnosis is ADHD felt like when you're in a dream and you're trying to punch something and you just like fall and you can't hit your target, but you're like, I'm gonna hit it, I'm gonna punch it, and you just can't do it. You just can't execute the way you want to execute, and it's really frustrating. But it's like trying to fight in a dream. That's what ADHD felt like for me. For most of my life, I've felt like I have been fighting myself. I've felt like I have to trick myself into doing things. I still do. But I just thought that was normal. Like you have to kind of like convince yourself to do things. I feel like I don't normally want to do anything. So most of my life is bribing myself to do things. That's always felt complicated to me. Because I know that I'm like this, I have worked relentlessly on developing structure. I'm very self-disciplined. You guys know that, especially if you follow my YouTube channel. Most of the stuff I talk about is about self-improvement, improving your life, creating routines and structures and processes in your life to make you better. So I've really been doing this for myself, which is the only reason I can speak to it for anyone. That doesn't mean it hasn't been exhausting. It doesn't mean I don't feel like every day I've got like a fucking anchor around my ankles. Like it still feels hard. But again, I didn't know that wasn't normal. I can remember feeling like this in high school. I just felt like things were unnecessarily complicated and I couldn't put my finger on why that was. I just felt like this is too much. And my response as a high schooler was, I'm okay with being mediocre and I'm gonna strive to be mediocre. And I was mediocre. I was friends with everybody, but when it came to academics and how I pushed myself, I was kind of mediocre. I wasn't like the best at anything. I was just floating. And I was happy with that. I really was, because it didn't cause me too much stress. And I knew that if I wanted to be the best at things, that I would have to fight myself even more. I understood that at a very young age, again, because I just didn't have the diagnosis. So So I was like, I'm not going to put myself in a situation to try to be the best when I feel like I don't know how to even like not fight myself so that I can be the best, if that makes sense. But I've always had the potential. That's the thing. I just didn't know how to work with my brain. Now, fast forward to college, I kept that mediocre attitude. Okay. I really didn't try hard, but now the difference is I lost that forced structure that I had. So in high school, what I mean by forced structure is like when you have to be at school from 9 to 3 or whatever, that is forced structure. Places in your life where you don't have to make the decisions, you just have to show up and do what you're told. That worked for me. That's why I was able to get by with ADHD for so long. And this is something my doctor explained to me, especially in women. She was telling me that we can mask in forced structure even better than we could in other senses. And so when I got to college, that's where it got a little more complicated, because now I'm being presented with the option of I could go to class or I could sleep in. I didn't have forced structure, even though technically it was forced, because that's tuition money. Okay, get your ass up. But I wasn't. I was fucking around and I found out. And so first semester of college, I get a letter in the mail that's like, hey, miss girl, you are going to be on academic probation if you don't get it together. You have like another semester to figure it out. And I'm like, oh shit. Okay. They were serious. This college is not a party. It was for me. So I said, okay, I'll get serious now. And next semester came out on Dean's list. So that tells you right there, I had the potential. I just was always afraid of trying to meet it until there was a good enough reason. And I hate that it's like this, but typically when I'm scared out of my boots, that's when I show the fuck up. It shouldn't be that way. But it definitely wasn't in college where I had to be scared to actually take college seriously. But also, like, let's be real. Most freshmen fuck around and have to find out. Okay. This is the first time you don't have a curfew. Your mama and your daddy ain't breathing down your neck telling you what to do. You best believe I'm gonna hang out in somebody's frat until the hell whenever I want to. Okay. I'm gonna do what I want. And I did. And that had consequences. So I had to create a structure and routine for myself. And that's kind of my first memory of having to be like, okay, how can you be successful, Bria? Because for whatever reason, this is too hard for you. And it took some trial and error. I was like, okay, let me study in my room. Nope, took a nap. All right, I'm gonna have to go to the library. I hated that library. The dim lights, oh, stupid freaking fluorescence. Like, I can literally smell the stale books. I love libraries, support your local library, but I hate studying in them, okay? Especially the old ones that like don't have natural light. That was the library that we had. And so I was trying to force myself to go to this library because I knew I couldn't study by my bed. That was part of my forced structure that I had to create, right? But it got the job done, okay? Because I was like, listen, I want to get the hell out of here. So don't nobody talk to me. I'm going to study for the next whatever. Fast forward to being an entrepreneur and I have to create even more structure in my life, and I don't have the tools. I don't have the knowledge to do it. And this was in the era where every influencer was like, here's my morning routine. I start with lemon water. And I'm like, okay, let me copy paste what these girls are doing because I want to be an influencer that's successful. However, none of that shit worked for me. None of it. There's not enough lemon water in the world. So my early days of being an entrepreneur are kind of, I don't know, they were great, but also I feel like I was so, so hard on myself. I still am. But I really was just like, okay, we have to figure this out. Like, why can't you just do this thing? And it created a lot of like avoidance and procrastination because I felt like I was always fighting myself, but I knew that I had this potential and I just wasn't meeting my expectations. So over the years, that's never really been solved. It's just kind of gotten better in some situations. In other cases, like, I don't know, it just really depends on the time of year, but it's fluctuated where I feel like this is a better time of year for me. I'm doing great. And then not, you know what I'm saying? But I never felt like, oh, I really figured myself out. Little did I know there was not going to be enough self-help books or routines in place to help me until I understood that I had ADHD. I had to structure my brain a little bit differently. And I didn't have that knowledge yet. So I had a few more years of fighting myself. Okay. Now, fast forward to last year, 2023, where the big show, the big depressive episode happened. And while that was like the worst time of my life, it was the best thing to happen to me. And this is why. The reason I got depressed in the first place was because I was not meeting my expectations. I knew I could do more. I knew I had so much in me. I was full of the desire to do this job, to be better. And I just could not meet my own expectations. And this is outside of the algorithms and the numbers and the likes and the views. This is different. That stuff, yeah, that stuff pisses me off too. But that is not always in my control because all I can do is show up. And the thing is, it was different. I couldn't show up in the way that I wanted to, and I could not figure it out. I still don't have the words for what the hell was going on. But all I could tell you was, again, it felt like I was just in a dream trying to fight. I knew I wanted to punch and I just kept missing. You can imagine that, like, constantly not meeting your expectations leads to frustration. Frustration then leads to depression. If you continue to think you're letting yourself down, you start to lose trust with yourself. And I think from there, you lose confidence in yourself. And I have never in my life not trusted myself until last year, where I was like, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. So me not meeting my expectations, coupled with me seeing my friends in the industry who we kind of started at the same pace, they're taking off. I'm being crop dusted. It's hard and it's real. And it's not a jealousy thing, because the first thing that I said in those situations was, what's wrong with me? Why am I not doing a good job? Like, why am I constantly not meeting my expectations? Why am I failing? Like, I'm such a fuck up. The self-talk was so bad. And when you start talking to yourself like that, you lose. You lose, because from there, you will continue to criticize yourself and berate yourself instead of meeting yourself with love. And it's honestly like low-key hard for me to talk about this, because like, I was so mean to myself. I've never once blamed anyone for my lack of happiness and my lack of accomplishments and success. I've never blamed anyone but myself, because I'm the only one that can get me there. And I understood that. So in those moments, I was my biggest op, my biggest enemy, because I was mad at myself. It was honestly like a snowball effect of self-loathing. Just every day, how can you hate yourself even more? Because I was just angry. I was angry at myself when it was really just me not knowing how to work with my fucking brain, yo. Everything finally just came to a head. And because of the consistency and not meeting my expectations, I went into a full-blown depression. The bedridden depression, the put 15 pounds on depression, which doesn't make anything better. But I lost faith in myself. I lost confidence in myself. I mean, if you go back to my YouTube channel during that time of the year, like, I was making videos about how I was just like fucked up, okay? And I was just keeping it real. Like, I didn't want to create. And like, that was scary to me, because this is all I want to do. Like, literally, this is my favorite thing to do. And I didn't want to do that. So that says a lot. But I got to that place, that very scary, dark place. And eventually there had to be a conversation. I was like, we're going to need the meds. And mind you, I was anti-med. I became team med when I got that bad. I'm just going to keep it a little light for the internet. The meds were necessary. You do the math, you fill in the blanks. Just, it was too much. I was running in place. I was burning out when I tried to push through it. I don't even know. It was just like every day felt like there were bricks on my chest. Seriously. Last year was a character development year. And I say that all the time because that's a nice way of me putting it, but it was just not a good year, but it was such a necessary year. So anyways, I became team med. I get tested for depression and anxiety and score off the charts. Mediocre in high school and college, and now I'm exceptional. Thank you. Passing with flying colors. So they give me my options for meds, and I'm like, cool. Well, they wanted to put me on this one. I'm not going to name medications because I don't want to influence you guys when it comes to medications. I think you need to talk to your doctors, but you'll probably be able to piece some things together. Anyways, they offered me a medication at first that would zap my libido and possibly make me gain gain weight. And I'm just going to keep it real with you. I already put on 15 pounds. I'm 5'3". I was like, if this gets any worse, I'm going to lose my shit. Okay. It's one thing when you put on weight and you're happy about it. I wasn't fucking happy about it. And my pants were all busting at the seams. I had no clothes to wear. Literally was Regina George sweater the only thing that fits me. Like, that was really me. I'm like, no, if I gain another fucking pound, like, I don't know. It is going to be the end for me, because I was just in such a bad place. I was so low. It's just like having any more issues. And I really, really was down about my appearance at the time. So if I had to deal with any more appearance issues in the midst of having a camera job, it was too much. So I said, no, like, is there something I could take that one is not going to make me gain weight? That was important to me at the time. And the other thing was, I would love to have a libido if you're going to let me. I would just love a sliver of like some happiness and pleasure. So she changed the medication she initially offered me to something else, but I don't do stimulants. So we landed on something that would work for me. And I started taking that a couple weeks in. I will never forget the day my ADHD meds kicked in. Okay. Because I was so depressed, I had like all these PR boxes in the office. Like, it was to the ceiling. I just hadn't opened them because hashtag depression. Okay. But it was like 7 o'clock one night, and I will just never forget. I was like, those boxes have to fucking go. Like, it was my purpose and my mission in that moment to figure it out. So I immediately went into the office at 7. I started opening every single box. I took all the products out, lined them up, organized them, put them away, broke down all the boxes. I cleared out PR that had been sitting in that office for 6 months. 6 months. And I did it in 2 hours. I was like, oh, I think the bitch is back. That was kind of like the first indicator of me getting myself back. And slowly from there, I was like, okay, if I'm going to do medication, because I was anti-med, but if I was going to do medication, we were really going to fucking do it. I was going to utilize medication to become the baddest bitch. Okay. I was going to utilize medication to get myself not only up, but better than I've ever been. Okay. I was going to create the routine of my dreams while on this medication, because I didn't want to use it forever. I wanted to use it to make myself better and get myself out of a rut. That's exactly what it did. It's kind of funny how everything naturally worked itself out for me, and I still didn't have an ADHD diagnosis. The medication that they ended up putting me on initially was prescribed for depression, but this medication is also used for ADHD. So when I was getting better, I was just like, oh, I was just like, I'm just not as depressed anymore. Which, yes, but also this medication was helping the ADHD that I didn't know that I had. Finally, that feeling of like not being able to meet my expectations was gone. Anything I wanted to do, I did it. It wasn't a debate in my head. I just did it. And I literally just cried one day because I was like, I can feel like this. I can feel like a normal person. I don't have to feel like I'm fighting myself every day. That's not normal. I still didn't have the diagnosis. I just thought that was like, if you're really sad, right? So I start creating the most badass routine that I can. This is when the walking pad comes into place, which you guys know I'm obsessed with. I lost 10 of those 15 pounds on that walking pad just by walking 1 to 2 hours every day while I work. But little did I know that walking on the walking pad while working was so ADHD friendly. No wonder I loved doing it. I was like, why doesn't everybody do this? People were like, oh, that's too hard. Like, that's complicated. Can you work and walk? I'm like, absolutely. It was great for me. It like tickled my brain in a way that felt so good. And it really was the only way that I could focus on my work. Still didn't know I had ADHD. So now I'm thriving. I'm fitting in my clothes again. I'm getting shit done. I'm feeling like myself. I'm not procrastinating anymore. Like, things are going so well. I go to my checkup with my PCP, and she's like, how are the meds doing? She did not prescribe me those meds. A psychiatrist did, but she was just asking like, how are you doing? And I told her, I don't remember what I said, but I just remember looking at her and she kind of had this look like she was listening, but she was like, okay. So I was like, yeah, like I'm doing really well. She's like, did you ever get tested for ADHD? I said, no. And I said it in a way where I was like, why would I ever be tested for ADHD? She's like, can I test you right now? Just really quick. And I was like, I mean, sure, but I've never been diagnosed in my entire life. I don't know that I have. She's like, okay. She gives me the test. I take it and she comes back and she looks at it and literally like takes the paper, looks at it for like 2 seconds and was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely have it. I was like, what? And then she started naming off like really niche things that I do. She's like, before you go to a restaurant, do you ever like study the menu before you go? I was like, yeah, my husband makes fun of me for that. She's like, ADHD. I thought I was just quirky, bro. So yeah, she starts listing off like all these things that are like just what I thought was quirky behavior, but apparently was a little neurospicy. And I'm like, oh, okay. And she's like, well, yeah, so this is helpful because your depression could have been a byproduct of not being diagnosed with ADHD. I mean, but think about it. You're constantly fighting yourself in your brain. At some point, you're going to come to a head and you're going to be like, fuck this shit. This is exhausting. Why am I doing this? What's the point? And then you get into that depressive thought pattern. It makes sense. So for me, I think that was part of my depressive episode was I did not have that diagnosis and I didn't know how to work with myself. Everything just happened to unfold beautifully for me to where I got the diagnosis after I had already started implementing routines that finally worked for me in my brain. And I had already been put on a medication that I didn't even know was helping the ADHD. So really things just came together by the grace of God. Women are also really good at masking. Neurodivergent women are just, we're better at masking. We're better at that. So it was easy to get by for me because I presented like I was good. But again, and every time I had to create that structure, when I didn't have forced structure, I felt like these were really difficult times in my life. And now we know why, okay? Now having the diagnosis has allowed me to look more into ADHD-friendly things that work better for me. Also, I'm not gonna lie, the For You page did tell me I had ADHD before the diagnosis. I literally would get all these videos. It's like some girl dancing and like pointing to all the symptoms, and I would like send them to AJ like, LOL me. LOL, like I got 10 out of 10 on this one. And I just thought it was funny. They were trying to tell me something. This is another reason why TikTok can't get banned. How are we going to get diagnosed? We don't need WebMD. We just need the For You page. But I think some of my more like traditional ADHD symptoms are when I'm excited, I definitely cut people off. I have really practiced that over the years because I've noticed that I do it and I try to talk slower and let people finish. I'm also hyper talkative. I didn't know that was part of ADHD, but it makes sense why I have a podcast and I can talk to myself all fucking day. And I also notice when I'm talking to other people, I do talk a lot. And sometimes I have to be like, Bria, shut up. Yeah. I have, you know, quite a few little cute quirks that are ADHD spicy. But there are so many people who also experience things like this and they're thriving. It really is just a matter of learning about your brain and learning how to accommodate to what your brain needs. I don't see it as anything that can inhibit you unless you let it. But the reason I wanted to make this episode is because I just wanted to be like a validation to some of you that if life feels unnecessarily hard, there's probably something going on and you should look into it. Just in my experience, I can tell you that this diagnosis improved my quality of life beyond what I thought that I could have. I have never known that I could operate like this, and it's not in like an Adderall machine way. It's literally just like I feel like what I think a normal person feels like, and that feels good. Okay. So it's helped me rebuild confidence in myself. It's given me the motivation to like continue creating and be innovative and try new things like what we're doing here. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just been really such a blessing. And I never thought that I would say that. And I also never thought that I would be on ADHD medication, but here we are. And I don't know that I'll be on it forever. I really don't. I don't think I will. My goal with medicine was to get to a place where I felt stable and like I could, you know, take the training wheels off. And I feel like I'm getting to that place relatively soon. I haven't even been on this medication for a year, so we'll see what happens. But also if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, and I'll go back on it. Like I just have a different view of medication now that I've seen my quality of life change. And this is on top of having a really good lifestyle, clean eating habits, working out. Baby, I was checking all the boxes before that too, so don't bring that argument, because I just hate when people belittle the fact that like I've been trying so hard. I really was trying so hard. And I had all the things in place, but that just wasn't what I needed. I needed other things. And now we have that. So I don't know. I'm curious to know if any of you have been diagnosed late in life with anything. I've seen quite a few people being diagnosed with autism in their adulthood. And I would love to hear more about any of you who may have experienced that. I'm sure it's a little bit different than ADHD, but I would just love to hear your neurospicy stories and how you're working with those and working around them, especially in adulthood. So thanks for tuning in, guys. This was really fun. Let me know if you have any questions about ADHD stuff. I'm only one person, but let's chat in the comments. Anyways, be sure to share this, like it, all the things that help our podcast grow, and I'll see you next week.